Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy. Hello, everybody. This is Brian McAvoy with a new episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to be interviewing Fadi Hamzy, a founder of Hamzy Analytics. Hey, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, glad to have you here, man. So that everybody knows, Fadi's a veteran in the space. I mean, he's been around for a while, and he's got a pretty cool history. He's a graduate of Princeton University with a bachelor's degree in financial engineering, and you know, he studied equity and debt derivatives under financial pioneers like Jack Shelton, Ed Thorpe, Richard Roll, Bob Geske, at the UCLA Anderson Graduate School of Management. He was a director of strategic planning at Northrop Grumman, their corporation's the aircraft group, and served for 11 years on the board of directors at the electronic clearinghouse Echo, now an Intuit company. Hamzy Analytics is in its 22nd year of operation and serves both professional and institutional traders while providing custom proprietary analytics to a select group of hedge fund managers. Along with heading up Hamzy Analytics, Fadi also is a top-ranked market timer, which we're going to find out more about in this interview today. Again, thanks for being here and taking time for the interview.
My pleasure, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, might as well start with the fact that you went to Princeton. And not that many people get to go to Princeton. You know, that really sounded pretty cool. And you got a degree in financial engineering. So how's that different from like a regular degree in finance, which is much more common?
Well, the background there is, first of all, it's not an engineering school. Same place that my classmates went in, Tom Layton, who runs Acumen, or Jeff Bezos went in a few years after us. So you need a background in math and physics. Obviously, you got to have, and back then you used to call it OR. Now they call it financial engineering. It's like fintech stuff, you know. So that's what's in. Basically, it's a scarce resources allocation. Started in World War II in England. And actually, that's what led to the design of radar and the basing options of where the Spitfires and Hurricanes were to defend against Germany. Or is operation research. You're dealing with scarce resources, and you really do linear programming to optimize. For example, an example is transshipment problem. If you're running UPS, you're running Yellow Trucking, which is no longer running now. But things of that nature, you got to understand OR. Or FedEx, for example, you got to understand OR. If you, Manhattan the Project, you know, actually last night we saw it for a second time. That was on OR because you have limited resources. You're doing a war zone and the task is huge. Task is horrendous. Right. So the only way you can take that journey is to squeeze every penny out of the dollar that you're using, put it at the right time and the right place. So that was OR. Now they call it financial engineering. Again, a lot of math. Of course, we were doing punch cards. We were doing, you know, the IBM 360s and 70s. Now, you know, you're doing that little Android. But it gives you the basics, you know, and a lot of Fortran programming. And then, I did my thesis. Wasn't an OR, but it was another problem, which was the second stage compressor of F-14 engine TF-30 by Pratt Whitney. Well, one of my advisors, unbeknown to me, was an advisor to DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, really? As a part of Pentagon. And Professor Jacobs. And I had two advisors there. One was on the business side, one was on the airplane side. Well, apparently he tells somebody in LA at some luncheon saying, hey, do you know this guy? Go look him up. Look what he wrote about F-14. Next thing I get a call and they said, this was a Sunday. On Monday, we'll have an aircraft for you to pick you up at Princeton Airport. You're coming to LA. I said, excuse me? Well, it's my thesis. Oh, you can ride on the airplane. Don't worry. You know, first class, take care of you. They literally picked me up at the airport, Princeton, took me to New York, put me on a helicopter, go through Pan Am Building, and then JFK, flew first class with JFK to LA. Got there, there was a car waiting for me. So, wine and dine, I talked to the guy who was head of a Phoenix missile at Howard Hughes, head of our research, Dr. Chalmers. I met a couple of the VPs. Introduced me to, I forget the name of the gentleman now. Oh, geez. John Paterno, not Joe Paterno, not the football guy. John Paterno, master's in MIT in aerospace and head of the B2 project. Of course, back then they didn't call it B2, it was Advanced Systems. Right. 3 years later, I'm working for him.
Wow.
Because of that thesis led me to F-18, and on F-18, I'll solve a problem on what's called Costner 4100, the vertical stabilizers, drilling through composites, and behind it is titanium. Very complex problem. It's very simple. You look at it. Trying to solve it, it wasn't. And it was the first two squadrons. We had 24 aircraft on the line, standing about a mile long. They weren't moving. We were having a problem with that Costner. So I went back to my numerical processing, wrote a couple of codes, tried and tested. I said, okay, guys, let's try this speed, mill size, million bit, and fluid, the coolant fluid, that combination. We start playing with those. I solved the problem in about 4 weeks. The line starts moving. I got a huge promotion. Navy said, give this guy whatever he wants. Don't argue with him. You guys, the imbeciles, you couldn't solve it. They had to bring a college boy to fix it. So, but I was careful. I wouldn't wear a tie on the line. I would roll up my sleeves. You know, you couldn't walk in an assembly line looking like a college boy.
Oh, true.
Much less IVD crap. Yeah, much less IVD. You got to be careful. One day I had a call from another division, the Advanced Systems, and they said, bring your driver's license with you and your Northrop ID for lunch at this executive dining room. I said, for what? You know how much? I have 12 people working for me. You know how busy we are? I don't have responsibility for three programs. What do you mean? They said, please don't ask questions. So I went to see my boss. I said, I got your permission. This is a call. What do I do? He looked at it, he goes, fine, I would go to this call. I would go to this lunch. I said, why? He goes, you'll find out. Don't ask questions. I walk in there, a bunch of lawyers. You have to sign papers. That was the one that had my driver's license. So I sign papers. What am I signing? Oh, you're basically giving your life away. It's a non-disclosure from DOD. It's feeling effect on you. Like, what happened? I said, I work on the commercial product. It's like 747. F-5 is an old project. F-18 is new, but there's nothing classified there. And we run by strict rules. Need to know. They said, this has nothing to do with your past. This has to do with your future. Okay. Sign the papers. Go on in. Sit the dining room. The gentleman. Very nice. Mo Hesse. His name is unclassified now. Back then was classified. Of German descent. And he asked me a few questions and he says, you know, you're going to be working for me starting this afternoon. I said, excuse me? I asked, what do you do? He goes, well, I'm on the black projects. Once you get there, we'll tell you. Turned out to be the chief designer on B2 Bomber.
Wow.
And I left lunch with him, went to the new division. I asked him, let me to my office. He goes, it's being moved right now. When we arrived there, they were bringing my stuff in. That's how Northrop moves, okay? Especially on B2 project. I mean, he's a guy who pitched to Caspar Weinberger while Reagan was still, I think, was president-elect, and Caspar Weinberger was a defense secretary-elect, right, that we need to build B2. I mean, once they had their security clearances, we got to build this thing. We have to stop the Soviets. And the pitch was we could break down the Iron Curtain, and exactly it happened. About 10 years later.
Huh.
Yeah. So 40,000 people, right, in a campus, no windows, no offices had no windows.
Wow.
We had the double fences. Inside fence was 240 volts. Okay? There were dogs and Humvees with the tow missiles on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's how you protect this country. That's how you build something as exotic as that. You know, and I only knew a little piece of it. Need to know only. Once yourselves, right?
Right.
I never saw back of the airplane. Never. Until it was flying. So, anyhow, incredible journey. Now, part of that, they also said, hey, you've done all this good stuff, but you need some investment analysis. What do I need that for? They said, don't ask questions. We're going to send you to an MBA program. I ended up going to UCLA. I kind of wanted to go to Harvard or Stanford, but they said, listen, this is nearby. We pay for it. Don't ask questions. I walk in there. I meet Bob Geske. And if you know anything about Black Scholl, Bob Geske, hello. And turned out to be the second infamous school on derivatives after U of Chicago, where Martin Scholl used to work, you know, back, you know, teach. And Fisher Black was from MIT. So I welcome all of that, and I started, became a sponge, and my life was changed. About a year later, I quit Northrop, and that's the last W-2 I've had. I've been on my own trading since then. Huh. I started with stocks, went to options, and now futures. Now, market timing, because I was involved with a user group in LA called MASK that John Bollinger started. I'm sure you guys know Bollinger Bands.
Of course.
And he took to my liking, took me under his wing. And ended up 2 years later, I became the president of the club. It was 400 traders, all rocket scientists type. You know, LA has a lot of, you know, technology groups and companies and all that. So some of these old farts that were just retired, they didn't want to go shopping or play golf anymore. But yeah, shopping with a wife or golf, it was enough. They want to go back to their core competency, which is math and physics. And so it was a technical analysis group, and I became president of it. And I ran it for about 10 years. Learned a lot, got a lot of know-how, connections. That's what really ended up to writing my book. When Wiley came in and said, can you write a book? And I said, no, because I don't have 300 pages of BS to tell you. Okay? and people are going to get bored. I don't want, nobody wants to know what my dad, what Chevrolet Impala year he had when he bought it. You know, and that's how these guys go back. Like, my grandpa did this, please. And they said, what do you think? I said, simple. We'll put something like Market Wizard, except for the 21st century. This is 2006. We'll have 8 to 10, maybe 12 writers, each write their own chapter, specific, and you can open the book, jump to the section you like, and jump on your platform, like TradeStation, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, and program it. So charts, methods, and on different subjects. So we did options, oil, silver, technical analysis, quantitative analysis, European assets, and it's been still selling. Actually, Jim Cramer, which I'm not a big fan of him, on TV, we usually take the other side of what he says. if you're a back test, that works. Turned out, he called it the market wizard for 21st century. Huh. And that's exactly what And we had 14 people in there.
Wow.
And it's been still selling. Now it basically sells as a Kindle because they overpriced it and underprinted. It sold out like 90 days completely. So they did the paperback. That sold out. Now it's Kindle. But it's a classic book because it doesn't deal with a specific time or a specific industry. It addresses array of challenges that we have. Huh. So it's good.
So even though it was written, sorry to interrupt, but it's so, even though it was written back in 2006, so it's still relevant today, yeah?
Right. Because first of all, there are two people that never published before. Like, for example, the opening chapter is by Jeff DeGraff, the advisor of Soros. You know, for 10 years in a row, he was a technical analyst of the deck of the Institutional Investor magazine. Voted as that. When you come to CNBC, you see what happens. I mean, everybody drops everything. Watch what Jeff has to say. He wrote the first chapter. And Frank Barbera, the guy who designed XAU, the gold and silver index. These guys were my buddies I knew from MASK, obviously. I invited them to give talks. Those relationships were built over years. So when I picked up the phone and I said, listen, guys, I'm going to call you in. I'm calling you a favor. I played like, Tom Hagen in The Godfather, you know, the Consigliere. I said, listen, we got to do this, guys, okay? Give me pages, 8 charts, no more. Simple, get to the facts. We want people to open the book and use it. They don't need to be 300 pages. And you can't be published because we chose Wiley. Wiley, which is the oldest scientific publisher. If Wiley is publishing you, you cannot have used it before. They're obviously, why would they invest money there unless it's fresh? So my stuff that I used there was put call ratios and a couple of my indicators that I designed. Why put call ratios? If you follow Wall Street Week, and I'm sure you did, in your early days, just myself. Myself, I think we're probably the same age. He did what's called what the put coverage show did, calls and puts for to time the market.
Okay.
Back then, of course, at the end of Wall Street Journal, and it was a day late, and it was total number of contracts. I went to dollar weighted because now you have much better CPUs. You know, back then, to do what I did, back when Dr. Zwick did that, he was a computer size of his house. You know, now you can do it with a, you know, i9 or i7. So, of course, back then we had a little bit bigger machines. This is 2005, 2006. We use Xeon CPUs, but you have big feed coming in from SIBO, option data, and you sort it by the number of contracts that trade per trade and price paid. So we do a dollar weighted. Why? Because not all contracts were created equal. You actually see the pressure. Now, there's a three-day effect. As you know, cash settles in 3 days. You buy a stock, you have to pay for it in 3 days. Or maybe it's two now, but I don't trade cash. But back then it was three. When I first started, it was five. But options are daily. So the option market maker has a pressure on it. And the way he hedges it, depending how neutral he goes home, is buying or selling the stock. Because of that phenomenon, you can predict what happens in Chicago is going to show up 3 days later in New York, where the stock is. Okay? I had such a record on CNBC, they called me Nostradamus. At one point, Juniper Network tried to sue me and Tom Costello, my cohort at CNBC, for having inside information. Are you kidding me? Why would I do that? People who do inside trading are imbeciles. You know, we use math and science. Mm. And proof is it's repeating. Excellence is repeatability. It shows the signals. In the book, there's like 10 examples of it. How the put call ratio went through and predicted, for example, Ashcroft is going to take their, this is Attorney General Ashcroft, will take the pressure on Microsoft off and say, no more antitrust with you, and market rallied. Okay? Even though that's supposed to be priced in, as actually a conversation with Tom Costello, he says, hey, what are you talking about? Yeah, 3 days later, he called and said, I apologize, you were right. I said, there's an apology. We're working together, don't worry. But on Juniper, we called the downside. No, put them call. So both sides. We called for a downside. The stock was trading at 70. That morning, I came in and I said, we're short. Here's our reason. And we should be around 61, 62. We closed at 60. Next day, they tried to sue us. You must have had some information. That, why did you say that? I said, I put the information at this. We have an engine. The engine picks 500 names each day, the top 500 names in S&P, and ranks them by pressure on their option market makers. And across the whole platform, because you're going to have multiple market makers now in the future, in the option side, especially NASDAQ. It does a sum of all of that and gives you a ranking. Then we go to the top five for the longs, top short, five for the shorts. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Okay. So they make it too complicated. So a bunch of hedge funds started using it, Soros, Tiger. I mean, they were just, it was now, then they found out that the data feed I was getting was I was using a backdoor because they programmed it for me, the data vendor. And it would give me unlimited. I was paying $300 a month, which may sound a lot for a day option data. But the company who bought them and reviewed everything, because they were being merged into Archipelago, Arco, they were in a rush and they gave me a lot of excesses, this and that. Good PR for them. I knew that. Stuart Townsend over there, the founder. And then the guy who programmed for me is now head CTO for Ken Griffin at Citadel, Joe Greenberg. Really good guys. But the new company came in and said, no. You lost $10,000 a month. I said, what? As of now? Or you talking about in retrospect? Well, we can't do you retrospect. But as of today. By the way, you need to pay 3 months in advance. I said, thank you. I'm history. I'm not paying $30,000 a quarter. So I left. And so, and then we varied that into different things like VIX and all that. We measure pressure on VIX options and all that. Now, we actually use VIX futures. A little bit more. Yeah. And actually, because now you have more volume. One thing I learned from John Bollinger was volume is a coincident indicator. Your insight has no validity if it's not followed by volume. So if something is draining very thin, there's no signal.
Right.
There's noise. Right. So that's why if you get a signal like on a spy or a Q, that's a good signal because it's widely traded. So that goes. Anyhow. Sorry, I got sidetracked. But that's my history there. What we do now, part of mass was a lot of market timers. Long and short, there's a company called Time and Digest out of British Connecticut, father and son, super rich. They actually built a very clever mousetrap. They did a contest for market timing on SPX on a closing basis only, because there's no argument what that value is, what
right.
time you set, and the cutoff is midnight. So on the closing basis of this tonight, cutoff is midnight, you say long or short or flat. And they took this 120, 130 people there, build it into a feed into their mutual fund. How many of the top 10 are long or short? They take a bias like that. Well, if you go to my website, you'll see I have posted this on my Twitter too. I may have sent it to your assistant. And then they stop. For some reason, they're still operating, but they're not ranking anybody. The last issue was the day Biden was inaugurated, January 20th. 2021. I was ranked number one for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I saw that. You actually had a really good run. Yeah.
And look at what the spread was with the second guy. Remember, there were 120 people there. I killed the second guy. Imagine what happened to the rest of the list. I'll tell you why. Two trades. One, the majority of that move was in two trades. Because there's a chart that you could see where the S&P was where we were. One was 2018. Fight between the Democrats and the Republicans, and they shut down the government. Remember, we got a signal in August that said the short is coming. We shorted in October. The signal was from SQ. SQ signal is about 4 to 6 weeks ahead of you. I like leading indicators. I want to know ahead what's around the bend. I lived in California. I drove up Route 1 up the North Coast. You don't know what the bends are, right? Reagan talks about it in his speech. But I want to see what's around the bend. And so we went to alert mode, went to get ready short. We shorted in October. We covered Christmas Eve. There was a number of days that government was shut down. Because of that chaos, this is 2018, it was a massive move. I mean, we cleaned up. That was one. The other one was COVID. My dog, Admiral Tico, came to me and said, Daddy, we got to short this market. I said, why? He goes, two words. Chemical reagents. I said, where'd you learn that? Now, this is a dog. This is a special dog. At Admiral Tico. 1,500 followers on Twitter. T-I-K-O. He had heard that we're going to be very short on chemical reagents for the testing. That means we couldn't test. If you can't test, you have no idea what kind of problem you have.
Right.
This was February 12th. So I wrote a note to my members and said, boys and girls, we're going to go short the market. My own sister wrote back to me and says, you are nuts. You know, we're 3 days from the high of the all-time high. You want to short this market? I said, no, please stay with real estate. Okay, do your thing. She was the first one to do the MBS for Milliken, the Drexel Burnham Lambert, mortgage-backed security. Very smart gal in real estate. I said, if I were you, I'd stick to real estate. Remember when I put you in Netflix, you fought with me? Why you went at 57 and I took you at 300 and you complained because it went higher? Monday morning quarterback. Hindsight is 20/20. I said, listen, we're going to short this market and we're going to hold it. He went 3 days against us. I was sweating. I swear. I was sweating bullets. Like, what? And then it turned. 38% in 5 weeks. Fastest drop ever. And Admiral Tico comes in and says, spring equinox, Daddy. We got it covered. The low was March 20th. Actually, Sunday, March 22nd. March was Friday. We recovered on that Sunday, and our target was 18,000 on Dow futures. You know why? We had three targets from the top. One was 2018 low, the test there, because that was the biggest low we had a couple of years earlier. The other one was the day Trump was elected, because I knew the hedge funds were going to do this to him. And the third was 50% retracement. So no one rule. Different rules apply. We took two out of three. And the timing, because we have these weekly webinars on our website. some schmuck says, hey, hotshot. And this is the middle of the movie. We're in the movie now. It's like, I don't know, like end of February, first few days of March. Hey, hotshot, when? I said, listen, hold up. Either people are good at price or people are good at time. There's a projection, okay? And one trade, you're lucky. You can't talk about one trade. It's a, you know, when I get ranked, that was 400 trades, you know? For a long period of time, one trade means nothing. And you're telling me not just pick the price that I'm trying to give you as a target. You also want me to give you the time, and you want to be this trade we're in. Are you nuts? He goes, fine, come on, what do you think? I got frustrated. I said, okay, you know what? More equinoxes, fall and spring, they always, because of gravitational force, we react differently. We go haywire. Okay, my best guess, I wouldn't bet my last dime on it. That's my caveat disclaimer. Would be a spring equinox. Well, when is that? I said, well, Persian New Year. It's March 20th. So somewhere in there. And target is still 18,000. I said, well, that's what the next target we have. We give you three targets. We already blown through the first one. It's the second one, and the third one was 14,000, which would be 50% of trace.
Right.
But we never got that. That Sunday night on September, no, March 22nd, Sunday night, we print that. We trade Sunday nights because of Globex. We traded on YM 18086. So I get on the horn. Cover now. This is it. Cover now. And we covered everything. The next day was the low. And then rallied. We went long. We had to go long. So, and that was the time because the rubber band. Those are days when the rubber band is pulled. It's okay to flip. Sometimes you got to go flat and stay up. But it was okay to flip. And those two killed it. Absolutely killed it.
Okay.
We're lucky.
How fun, though. How fun. Very cool.
I meet a lot of my poor people. It gives you a good feeling. Or some for my family, too. But not always easy. Not always fun. And sometimes they don't understand certain things. You got to educate them. You know, like risk management. I can manage 200, 300, 400 accounts. So each of them have to watch their own. If you have a question, call me, write to me, or come to the webinars because I can't, I'm not your broker. I don't have access to your account. Don't want to be your broker. I'm an advisor. But I set the rules and parameters to look for. I would do this, for example, if it goes up. I would do that if it goes down. So sometimes it's without headache, especially those who have been with me longer. But the newbies, I didn't know. I made 4%. I didn't know I should get out. But 4% is pretty damn nice. Okay.
Yeah, true. Well, so with your service HEMS analytics, so right. you're working with professionals, you're working with individual retail traders, right?
Right, active traders, yeah. I mean, they got a good size here, portfolio, and they're managing it. Timing is important. We also do some futures. And those are done in the chat room with a live Zoom and GoToMeeting. So, and then they have separate moderators. They can manage, but I can't get involved with that too much. We have a technical guy to solve your technical issues you have. We have one guy in charge of servers, and then we have a moderator. And they're very seasoned. They've been with me 5, 10, one of them has been with me 20 years. So they know exactly to do and not to do. This way allows me to trade some money for Reg D investors. I have another company that's called TCF, Tico, again, Agro Tico, the dog, Tico Capital Management, and that does a we manage Reg D large, you know, minimum is 500,000 for those in the future using, again, algorithm. Everything is run by algorithm. We don't go in there, buy here, sell there. The machine gets set up and you follow. And of course, our really good crowd in our chat rooms because of them. There are a few guys I know from Chicago. As you know, I spent 8 years there because I was teaching at SIBO and CME after I left LA. Mm-hmm. And I met with a number of these guys and they stayed with me. And so they expect one of them was a big position in crude in New York. He would trade crude, but he was probably one of the largest single retail traders in crude. So the insight they bring to the chat room is priceless. And a lot of times I'm the student, I'm listening, you know, I'm learning. If you don't learn every day, you're gonna start dying. Yeah, that's what happens. You gotta keep learning. So but we do that it's called ORP. One algorithm we have done this big, 2 years out now, opening range breakout. Okay. And it also runs by two system houses in Chicago, hands off. You just put the money there and trades for you. Last year, we did 360% net.
Nice.
In a down market. In a down market, we made about 30% a month. So.
Nice.
But here's the reason, I think. I know myself. I get emotional. Machine doesn't. Machine doesn't have a, you know, headache. The machine didn't have two margaritas last night. You know, it's just like I did because I went to see a movie. Happy, I had another margarita. No, but point is, the machine doesn't have that type of a month. You know, the machine operates. It knows the rules. For example, statistically, we know you shouldn't trade Wednesdays. Why? It's middle of the week. So the volume is a U, especially today's option expiration also. And again, I think there was divine guidance, I swear, for my life, how I got passed through these stages and to be here now to trade futures, but keeping in mind what happens, what the option activities on them impact is, understand volume, have these indicators, understand market timing. They all blends in. So it's a good challenge. The future side is NQs. We're about to do something with ES. Why? Volume is low. When there's volume is low, the moves are exaggerated because you're cornering somebody, okay, or a farm or something. So NQ has been really good to us. But also you got to have tight stops, and that's what people are not good at. Machines are. Machine doesn't understand. Should I give it another five more handles? It doesn't know. Out is out. Boom. You're done. You step for next. You wait for next trade. Preserve your capital, and you fight another day.
All right. Very cool. Well, so now you have a lot of different services that you offer, though, right? Because you got a notice on your site. You got like you got prop day trading, prop right. Auto trading. Of course, you get your market timing. Now, is the market timing is it like a newsletter service, Signals?
Yes. Or? It's a web page there, and you log in for that. We do the charts on Wednesdays, open to everybody. It's kind of a freebie, but it creates conversation. People come in. It's a kind of marketing. And it's easier for the newsletter. The newsletter is actual trades, and you have to log in to get that. And we send the email saying there's an update. We do not give the trade on an email because people will forward it inadvertently to a friend, this, that. But this one, no. We just tell them there's an update. Go to the website, take what it is. And they know our sequence. And then as we change trades, as we go to a new trade, trade number changes. There's a couple of particular charts posted. There's a logic. But in terms of what guides us into our bias, it's about 8 to 10 charts. We have never changed that all these years. Why? If you start changing charts or indicators, you're creating multi-factor model. Again, statistically, you're self-defeating. You keep what you got. You must have a very good reason to drop something, an indicator, or add an indicator in. You know, so I run multiple monitors. I may have an indicator. I mean, there's one of the screens are off right now behind me because that's some of my new work is done. I designed by decision, I turned it off this morning. We don't advertise what's in the works yet because we don't know how it's going to work or not. And the best test is live test, not back test, live test.
Right.
So we'll look at that. Those charts are reviewed. We put a video on our YouTube channel. YouTube.com/HabsAnalytics. Those are posted and they're freebies. You go through that and it shows what our calls were. We have been pounding the table saying you gotta stay short. And people are saying you're nuts. I said, well, we'll see. But if I look at the data internally, see, I don't look at price alone. Price is probably the last thing I look at. I'm always looking at internals. And S&P has the most internals. Think about it. SPX, the cash, has the most internal in terms of tick, trend, VIX for it. Let's see. Advanced decline, 52 weeks high, 52 weeks low. You can build models and then look at lead lag studies. Okay. For example, 52 weeks high and low says we got to go down. Why? Because we recently hit a high. Those are your month forward. So we're going to go down. Now, then as we go down, the lows start building up. When the lows peak, now we got maybe a week to go for the lows. And I buy when there's blood on the street, just like Getty, John Paul Getty. You okay. Buy when there's blood on the street, you sell whenever he wants it. I buy when nobody wants it and sell whenever he wants.
analysis.
So I'm looking at fear and greed, Brad. And that's how we build our futures too. Our future models, if they're running their graphical model, they're running live, but they always deal with fear and greed. We kind of asymptotically extrapolate and give a target price, because nobody knows where the price are going to go. But you have a probabilistic price where the fear is going to be and where the greed is going to be. So we buy the fear, we sell the greed.
Very cool. Very cool. So now you said that you generally like working with people with like a minimum account size, like 500,000 or more, or are you open
for the money management part? But I'm managing discretion. And I don't charge any fee. I get a percentage of their profit.
Okay.
Just like a hedge fund. But people in the chat room just pay subscription. They manage their own money. We don't ask them what size. We give them some rough suggestions of what they need with different program. One of our most popular product is our indicators. Our indicators, which built us to get to be a diamond of the decade, has been around 20 years. I had still have a guy from Putnam, Boston. He was a trader for and then portfolio manager, and then he became an exec. He still pays that quarterly fee for one of my indicators. It was the first one introduced, I swear to you, February 2002, called CI. We call it Central Intelligence, CI. oxymoron, Central Intelligence, But the damn thing is so good on the turns. It actually shows you where the turns are coming. So, and it's because the leading indicator, remember, momentum is study is a leading indicator. The problem is that it can't give you a trend. I use limit theory to combine the two. So you have a trend following lines that has momentum built in. Those two always got to fight with each other. If you use a little bit extra math, you can resolve it. Where that turns, you know market is going to turn within a bar or two. So if you're running a three-minute bar, you got 3 minutes to act. 3 minutes in futures is a lifetime. Especially in NQ. But NQ moves. I mean, big rewards means big risk, right? You cannot go up the risk ladder and assume, yield ladder and assume no risk. There is no such a thing. Only a scam artist will have that. If you're pushing your yield up, your goal for your yield, you better accept more risk. And in a normally distributed life, with efficiencies that we have now, that's where the reality is. So this mitigates that.
Very cool. Well, it sounds like you got some cool stuff going on, and I find it very cool. I'm glad that you explained the financial engineering, because that's more of an actual engineering kind of background that you got rather than just the finance that's more commonplace today.
I swear to you, when I took the finance I learned was that like with Jack Shelton at UCLA and MBA, not at Northwestern. Princeton was all engineering, all physics and math, but you build these in your life as we go through school, anything, whatever the subject is. We build frameworks. If you don't have those frameworks in, you won't be independent. You won't be able to solve problems. You always be somebody else's student. At some point, you got to lead. When they threw me that F-18 problem, nobody said what the solution is. They said, that's what we hired you for. Go solve it. I told them, bring me a cot. I swear, a couple of nights, I slept on the line on a cot. Because my place was too far, and we were working around the clock. It got worse. On B2, I had Sunday afternoons off. We worked 6.5 days. I was in middle management. We could not show up. They just fired you. We had no vacation. I mean, every 2 years, we get a couple of days off. Well, that's what it takes to defend this country. The people now who our futures are, the kids who are our future, they have no clue. Absolutely zero clue how this country is defended. I paid my dues. My dad was a firefighter. Father of the Shaw, he paid his dues for his murder lab. Okay, I was born there, but I came here when I was a kid. This is my country, so and I'm grateful. He opened a lot of doors for me. Now, but every time there was a knock on the door, I opened. I didn't procrastinate. I took advantage of doors that opened for me. And of course, Princeton was a big help. Northwestern was a big help. UCLA, Mass, Wiley. When my book came out, it went nuts. I mean, we sold out within a month and a half. Opened a lot of doors for me. So I'm grateful. No complaints.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool indeed.
We love longevity of our members. I mean, in terms of somebody who's been with us, I mean, that was our first month we introduced indicator, our first indicator. It's still with us. That kind of longevity is valuable. You don't need a lot of customers. You need, you know, loyal customers who actually least headache because they've learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't bug you constantly. They know what to look for. Otherwise, they wouldn't be using it this long. You know, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, no kidding. Very cool. Very cool indeed. Well, this has been a blast. I very much appreciate you taking the time today and sharing all the chat. This is very cool indeed. And for our listeners today, you know, if what he's talking about with the timing and, you know, taking a very scientific mathematical approach to things, you know, if that resonates with you, definitely swing by hemzeanalytics.com. I'll have the link in the show notes in the description. And check it out.
And also, Brian, they could mention that they heard this interview. We'll cut them a deal. We'll give them a little advantage for like 3 months, whatever it takes. So that, because you got to get on board. Nothing is going to be, it's not a ampoule. You know, you don't get a syringe in your arm and you become a market timer. It takes time to understand new systems, new even indicators, so forth. We've always done that. We've always offered. So mention that they heard this interview. We're more than happy to throw them a few freebies for them to make it a little bit easier up front. Yeah, or reduce price.
Yeah, excellent. Well, yeah, everybody, you know, yeah, definitely. Like I said, don't just sit there, though. Don't just listen to this and say that was cool and then go about your day and forget about it. You know, like I said, if it sounds like something that aligns with your goals, what you want to do with your trading, swing by there and check him out. Like I said, he's got a YouTube channel. He's got different ways that he can help you, you know, in your trading, whatever your goals are. So, yeah, definitely. And Ferry, this was very cool, man. Thank you again for coming by and, you know, sharing your time with us today.
Thank you, Brian. It was my honor.
Yeah. And, everybody, I also applaud you for, you know, taking time out of your day to listen and pursue, you know, learning and growth as a trader. And, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up and we'll see you on the next episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Cheers.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by Inside Out Trading and pick up your copy of The Proven Formula for Consistent Monthly Profits. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.